If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, you know him from the 8th District. Yes, he's a congressman, but he is running for Dick Durbin's Senate seat. And I understand you're driving through what part of Illinois right now?
It's southern Illinois. I'm on 57 coming north. And I started off the day in Franklin County and then Carbondale.
Oh, and what are people saying? What are you learning out there on the road?
Well, you know, I actually started off the day at a rural hospital, and you and I have talked about the large, lousy law, which some people call the big, beautiful bill, but it's going to leave like 535,000 people uninsured, primarily because of its cuts to Medicaid. It turns out that rural hospitals like this one in Franklin County rely disproportionately on Medicaid patients, so those cuts are basically going to put at risk of closure these types of hospitals. And what we were trying to explain to people is this hurts all of us, regardless of who you are, whether you're on Medicaid or not, in two ways. One, basically all patients of those hospitals, regardless of their ability to pay, will no longer have access to those health services. And then two, once layoffs start because of the cuts, in the health system, that causes the economy to spiral down, and that's especially unwelcome in these rural areas where the economy is already a little depressed.
Not only depressed, but a lot of those hospitals have closed up in recent years, and that's my concern. I spent a lot of time in rural Illinois on the farm, and, you know, our closest hospital is 30 minutes away, and it's concerning because that serves a lot of people. Okay, so the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said it was the Democrats who, you know, wanted to get out of there quick, and that's why you couldn't address the Epstein files. Where are we on that, and why is the DOJ interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell and not the 1,000 victims?
Well, first of all, you know, Mike Johnson is absolutely wrong about that. He wanted to adjourn, a day early because he did not want Republicans to be able to vote on a resolution that was coming up to basically require the disclosure of the Epstein files. It turns out the majority of Republicans would vote for it, along with all Democrats, and he is basically, unfortunately, blocking it on behalf of Trump. As far as this interview that happened, I don't know why it happened. I don't know exactly what transpired, except that we know that Ghislaine Maxwell desperately wants to get out of jail. She desperately wants a pardon or a commutation or some clemency. And, my fear is that the deputy attorney general may have dangled some inducements or may have made threats to help shape her testimony about what's in the files and what's to come.
So, Congressman, her legal team filed with the U.S. Supreme Court this week saying that the deal that Jeffrey Epstein made should have shielded her as well. Do you think that filing was connected to the DOJ meetings?
It might have been. I don't know for sure. But what I know is that there's absolutely no way that woman should ever be released early. You know, she's a convicted child sex trafficker. And we're talking about, you know, the DOJ released a memo saying there were at least 1,000 victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And so she should not see any relief at this point.
And I've been watching some of their testimony just because they're now sharing their stories. They feel like, you know, none of their stories have been heard or told. And we're talking about 13, 14-year-old girls, some as young as 12. It's absolutely horrifying that we don't know, other than Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, who was a part of this. And I just feel that those women, if they are willing to tell their story, they should be heard.
I agree. I know that some have come forward anonymously through the press, I should say. And I know that others testified. And still, at least one victim, I think she overdosed may have committed suicide following, you know, these horrific crimes that happened. But in any case, you know, I should just bring up two things. One, you know, releasing the Epstein files is the right thing to do. There has to be full sunshine and transparency. But secondly, this particular issue has brought legislative business to an absolute standstill on Capitol Hill. And we are barreling toward September 30th, which is the end. You must fund the government before then. And I'm just concerned that this whole issue could also get in the way of that extremely important business, which my constituents want us to accomplish.
Let's talk about the plane. Apparently the plane is coming in the next few days from Qatar, a gift to the Department of Justice. There is some discrepancy in how much it's going to cost to outfit that plane so that it can replace Air Force One. It will then be donated, I understand, to the Trump Library to be used in whatever capacity they see fit. Where's that money coming from? Some people are saying it could cost up to $1 billion to get that up to speed.
It might. I think that it's been tucked away into potentially certain DOD accounts. And so that's something that we have to look into. But at the end of the day, I think it's completely inappropriate, potentially illegal for, you know, the Qataris to be able to donate this plane for the benefit of the president and in a personal capacity, whether it's to his Trump Foundation ultimately or otherwise. This is what is prohibited under the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, namely gifts from foreign entities or foreign states to the president. And, you know, I think this is just another example, unfortunately, of the corruption swirling around this administration right now.
And before I let you go, Congressman, let's talk about Ryan Sandberg. I read your post that you posted on X today. You were a kid watching him play ball?
Oh, my God. He was a hero, Lisa. I mean, he was my childhood hero. I played, you know, in my backyard or in the schoolyard. We kids, we'd each take up, you know, one of us is Rhino, another Sean Dunstan, another is Mark Grace, and we'd, you know, we'd pretend to be them. And Rhino in particular, you know, he exemplified the very best of sports. He was such a gentleman. He let his performance speak for him, and it spoke volumes. One of the greatest ever. I gotta admit, I was a little emotional when I saw the news this morning.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Congressman, I don't mean to follow that up with the crass question, but we learned this week that you're in the money. I mean, you are crushing your opponents when it comes to fundraising. How is it that you account for that? And did you start early? Where did this money come from?
It didn't come from the Qataris, did it?
I mean, if you're worried about
you
the government,
if, you,
if you're worried about the government getting bailed out, you know, you could start yourself there. You could make a contribution, maybe.
Well, look, I'm blessed with tens of thousands of donors who my cause. I can't say this enough. When I was an infant, my father lost his income, and this country came to our rescue. I lived in public housing and food stamps, and when we got into the middle class, my father said, whatever you do, make sure this country's there for the next families who need it. That has become my mission statement, my why. And I have the best staff of any member of Congress. And that's in their hearts as well. And I think people believe in that mission.
And so that's what you're saying? People are donating because that's the mission and they want to see it carried forward?
100%. 100%. They want to see the American dream within reach for everybody, and right now it feels like for millions of people it's out of grasp, or it's slipping out of grasp. And you know, these Medicaid cuts, which we talked about just now, I mean, when you shred the social safety net, you're basically harming upward mobility of people who might fall down and need a helping hand to get up. And they want people like me and others to stand up to Trump, but also stand up for our values as Americans, and that means making sure the American dream remains alive for everyone.
So you're saying that $12 million or so that you've got in the cash chest right now, that came from over 10,000 donors?
Thousands. I don't know the exact count, but it was partly from my congressional campaigns as well. And so just we've received donations of, varying amounts from tens of thousands of people at this point.
Thank you so much for joining us. Drive safely, and thank you for sharing your sentiments about Ryne Sandberg.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy from the 8th District.